There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Today we have Philip Vincent with us today. How are you, Philip?
Great to be here, guys.
Awesome. We're happy to have you here. So just a quick bio on Philip. As a St. Louis native, Philip's passion is Cardinals baseball and Blues hockey. When he's not watching sports or with his family, he's helping other families solve big problems by buying houses. While he started as a home builder and developer, he quickly transitioned to buying houses from seniors or adult children. Over the last 22 years, Philip has bought hundreds of houses and has a passion for working with families. His sellers love him. There isn't much he hasn't seen, so creativity and care are his go-to when it comes to buying houses and helping families solve some of their biggest problems. It's his entrepreneurial spirit and commitment to making the home selling process easier for seniors that led him to create this nationwide network of mom senior transition specialists. Philip has two young sons, Drake and Sterling, and a super wife, Melissa, who's all he could ever have dreamed of. Well, except maybe his lifelong dream to one day own the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team, right? Yeah. He's an avid tennis player and also loves playing hockey with his two boys. Philip volunteers for multiple charities, including Brace for Impact 46, an organization that supports youth programming in both St. Louis and Haiti, and Special Spaces, which builds custom rooms for terminally ill children suffering from cancer. So, Philip, again, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, every entrepreneur has a story. So I'd love to hear your story, how you got started in the business. And, of course, we'll get into Mom's House because that is I love what you're doing with that. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of did this business backwards. When I was 20 years old, I built my first house, and I did that because my family are a lot of builders or guys that frame for builders. And so I knew, I'll tell you the genesis story. I think it's pretty funny. My cousin said he was building a house. The guy bought the lot for $300,000. He put $700,000 in the house. So he had $1 million in it, $300,000 in the lot, $700,000 in the house. And he was going to list it for 1.4. But then the neighbor across the street listed his old house for 1.4. And the builder said, well, if that thing's worth 1.4, I'm going to list mine for 1.8. And the guy sold it. And my cousin said, wouldn't you hate that? And I go, hate what? And he says, paying taxes on making $800,000. I go, no, that's the exact kind of problem I'm looking for. And it just shows like the mindset of somebody that's maybe a framer versus an entrepreneur. Yeah. He thought that was a problem. I'm like, that's the problem I'm looking for. This is 1999 we're talking, right? I was looking for that type of problem. And so building my first house let me know that I loved real estate. I always knew that, but and you could have 100 different jobs in real estate. And so the timelines of doing new construction led me always to where's the source of deals or where are deals coming from? I was doing driving for dollars before that term was even out there. I would just go up and see a bad house and knock on the door, talk to the neighbors. I would talk to everybody. And then I would try to wholesale that back to a builder or back to someone else. And so I was wholesaling before I even knew what that was. And I think because of being a contractor, I was never big enough to matter to have them be full-time employees, that it was, I hate to call it a hobby because that's not true, but the timelines of new development versus wholesaling, my personality is much more come in, help somebody, get paid in 3 to 4 weeks and do it over and over and over again. I'm a deal junkie, so I like that feeling more than the timelines of new construction.
Awesome.
Very cool. Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I love that story. And, kind of brings me back to when we first started, right? I mean, the driving for dollars. Now you're aging yourself there. So let's get into Mom's House. Now what you're doing, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
Yeah, I was challenged back in 2011 for every deal that we were going to do via direct response marketing or your typical, what everybody, all the listeners know, your driving for dollars, your pay-per-click, your bandit signs, your direct mail, all those norm, I'm going to use my air quotes, your normal ways to do real estate. We you know, we spent tons of money every month on that. We were challenged with, for every deal we do via direct response, can we do a deal by relationships? And this was a big company and you're doing a few hundred houses a year, right? And so we had three or four acquisitions people. And what I had found was a lot of the guys went to what I would call the easy road, which was realtors and other wholesalers. And guys, there's plenty of good deals to get from realtors and other wholesalers. But what I found was it was hard to keep their attention for over a year or two, because once they learned what I was doing and with the money we were making, what's the problem with realtors and wholesalers? They're in real estate. They're in our business, right?
Right.
Where in 2011, I like stereotypes. I know people don't like that word, but I like them because in stereotypes, you can glean from them. And back in end of 2010, early 2011, we told this generic story of like the 100 people that we had bought houses from that year. What's the similarity? What's the stereotype between all of those? And it was the first time we ever told this story. It was that, you know, what we see is dad passed away 8 years ago. Mom's been doing the best she can. You know, she just fell down again. And now she has to have a hip surgery. All the kids are up in arms. She's going to live. She's going to be fine. But in 3 weeks, when mom gets out of rehab, the doctor says mom can't live on her own anymore. Well, now my brother in North Carolina has to fly into town. All the kids have to come into town quickly to make a really hard decision on where's mom going to get the best care? That's number one. That's the biggest thing I can say. Where is mom going to get the best care? But because we're American, I know you like nice things, I'm sure, right? Do you pick the cheapest purse or the nicest purse? You know,
Who are you asking?
No, I mean, the point is that we don't pick the cheapest. We pick the nicest one we can afford. Yeah. And in that flashpoint, guys, in that moment, that's where like, man, we're going to have to sell the house. And what do we do with the house and the stuff? And what sometimes breaks the camel's back is the realtor comes in and says, clean this place out, do this list of updates before we list it. And no one's going to argue that the real estate market isn't good, but you have to get your house to that point. And from on average 400 miles away, the family just doesn't want to. Just take care of it, Philip. Because guys, if you knew you 28 your mom right now, would you spend 3 to 6 months cleaning that house out, trying to get a couple extra dollars?
No, absolutely not.
Nobody would. And so that's how Mom's House was born. I started networking in the senior living space with my big personality back in 2011. And I did it wrong. I hit my head against the wall every step of the way because I have this huge person. I'm going to say a sentence. I'm going to preface it all. I'm going to say something bad right now, right? This is what I think the listeners are thinking that I do right now, that I walk in the front door and I say, hey, I'm Philip. I'm a real estate investor. And I buy houses from old people moving into nursing homes. And in that sentence, I said at least three things that would get me kicked out. And people just don't know it. But my point is that's what people think I do, but there's so much more to it than that. It's not done by walking in the front door. It's not done by showing up as a real estate investor because all they hear is the word shark. Mm-hmm. It's not even done as saying I'm a realtor because guys, that might even be worse because that's the way this problem has been fixed for the past 35 years. And you ever hear the term crocodile brain? Someone's crocodile brain. When somebody meets a mortgage broker or a financial planner or a realtor, their brains turn off. They already know what that is. And so when to fix this problem in a different way, I'll give you a good example. I had a student, he owned some residential assisted living communities. And he said in the past month, he had four families come through for walkthroughs. And three of them said, we're going to need to sell mom's house before we can move her in here. And he said, go talk to a real estate agent. He did this motion, go talk to a real estate agent. And when you figure that out, come back and see me. And my head explodes. I'm like, you had three perfect opportunities. Walk into your door. You could have helped him with the real estate and you would have self-served your own community, residential assisted living community, by unlocking the equity for care. Yeah. And so what Mom's House does, we help that family in that moment when they're already getting kicked multiple times over and over again, and they want this one thing to go easy. And that's how Mom's House was founded.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's a pretty incredible story.
I got a question for you on that. Ken Corsini's, I was on his book and on his podcast and everything for Bigger Pockets. And I told a story that's very similar to what you're just talking about. And I mentioned, I said it wrong, and that was my fault on the thing.
And you got eaten alive.
I got eaten alive. Like, I was a shark. I took advantage of an elderly lady. I got, you know, and her family was involved in the whole thing. You know, it was very transparent. I wasn't taking advantage of anybody, but man, I got eaten alive on BiggerPockets. So how do you help me to, or help the listeners, you know, that maybe are thinking that same thing, and you kind of hit on it just a minute ago, but how do you not be, you're not a shark. You really are just offering a solution.
So how do you not show up? How do you show the world that you're not?
Yeah. Is there a way, or is there like,
if everybody listening right now, if you think about the last five houses you bought, was it from an 82-year-old or a 28-year-old? 82. Almost always. Yeah. It's almost always it's the senior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what you said was so perfect. I don't really deal with the senior as much as you think I would. I'm dealing with the adult child. Mm-hmm. And the adult child's anywhere from 40. The oldest adult child I ever had was an 80-year-old man. He was helping his 98-year-old mother-in-law. Wow. So when I say the adult child, I could be talking about an 80-year-old man. But the point is, I'm dealing with the adult child. I call them the most responsible child. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, if there's eight kids, I hope I'm getting the most responsible one.
That makes the decisions.
Make these decisions. And it might be the first time they've ever done that for their parents. Mm-hmm. Guys, that's not a little deal. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna tell you something right now. You guys know the term being drawn and quartered, like by horses, where you're being pulled in four different directions by horses. You're getting killed that way. That's what daughter Judy's going through. You know, mom's cantankerous because you took her out of her forever home. She just wants to go home. The community wants $9,000 a month for the place you picked out. So where the heck's that gonna come from? So they put pressure on you. Your brothers and sisters that don't even live in town are questioning every decision you make. Mm-hmm. And then you guess what? Daughter Judy's still married. She still has a needy husband. She still has kids in whatever sport they're in. She didn't have time for this anyway. And really the biggest concern is, where's mom going to get the best care, right? Mm-hmm. So that should be the focus. But what's going on in all of that is daughter Judy's being pulled in four different directions. And I always say when the realtor shows up, they try to hook up a fifth horse to daughter Judy and pull her in. And she's just like, no, I don't, you know, I've got this. I think it's funny. It's like when these families get together to try to divvy up the stuff when mom's moving into senior, if they can't pick out who gets mom's cast iron skillet, how could they do a full rehab of the house? How could they?
It's so true. I mean, anybody that's been through this, you know, would understand, right?
I think laugh at it now.
Yeah, because I mean, we went through the same thing with my grandmother's house, right? And if you were around, I'd be like, hey, like, take this, you know, because it took time out of my schedule to try to figure this out, right? Yeah. And all I walked away with was probably a skillet and a rosary, probably.
One tchotchke, right? Yeah. You got your tchotchke out of it, and that's what you wanted. You weren't waiting for the bedroom set. You didn't want the china, right?
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, there was other family members that fought over everything. It was a mess. But the and even with Mike, we just through COVID, you know, it just seemed like it took a lot of people. So even with my grandpa, we went through the same thing, and his wife he remarried, and so her family, none of them were around. And so, like, they were in the same boat. Like, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to handle it. They, like you said, they were stressed out of their mind. They wanted to make sure that she gets proper care. But then also in the back of their mind, they knew they needed the money from the sale of the house to help support some of this long term. So I think, people don't realize it, but you are just offering a solution and a quick solution for, a lot of struggle that people are going through. I don't know if I said that best, but
true motivation, right, guys? There's true motivation. I don't have to convince them of motivation. So then the question is, well, how big is this market? People are always like, Phil, that senior living thing, what a nice little niche you have there. Mm-hmm. And I always laugh because they don't understand the numbers. Over the next 20, I've been 22 years in real estate, but 11 in senior living. But over the next 22 years or 20 years from now, that's 20 years in the future, there's over 21 million boomers and their parents, and they're going to be trading the equity for care. That's over a million opportunities.
Isn't that crazy?
And listen to this stat. 7 out of 10 Americans over the age of 65 will live in some sort of assisted care before they pass away. And why that's so important to me is that people have started calling what we do as pre-probate, and I'm okay with that term. They haven't passed away yet. Probate is actually the small little niche. Pre-probate is actually real estate. I'm being bold when I say that, but what we do is actually the real estate business. That's who we buy houses from.
Yeah.
So tell me, because I know we, in our business over the years, we've had numerous of these type of deals fall. And yes, like you said, majority of the people we deal with are elder. I don't know what's appropriate word. I get ridiculed on this for saying the wrong.
Don't be gun shy. Yeah. Don't be gun shy. If you know you're there to help people, you should not be gun shy. And I think,
but how do you consistently find those deals on a regular basis? Like, we would just do our regular traditional marketing channels, right? Mm-hmm. And they would just traditionally fall into our lap along the way. How do you get more of a consistent, you know, and get in front of these people and be and have it be a consistent stream of leads for you?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. You go to the source. We're all looking for the golden eggs. So you start looking for the golden goose that's laying those eggs. And the golden goose in senior living is about 10 different job titles that I teach my students about, from the executive director down to the social worker, the placement agents, aid and attendance benefits providers, downsizing experts, elder care attorneys. These are the people that are having that tough conversation. Right, remember both examples of your grandparents. Mm-hmm. Those people, while they're fighting with their family, also what's going on is they're going to experts to get a to get their expert opinion on where is mom going to get the best care? How are we going to pay for it? When those people say, hey, call Philip, he's the most trusted guy in town, they put me on a pedestal to say, this is the guy that takes care of this problem that they know they have. And when that warm referral comes to me, you could be halfway incompetent and still buy a lot of houses when it's teed up that way. I'm serious. I mean, it is. It's just because it's trust. It's the T word, right, guys?
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I love that you found the your niche and, you know, you're focused on this. Like, I want to, like, how imperative is to have a clear focus in real estate? You know, I know that oftentimes we, you know, want to do a little of everything, right? And then we don't get anywhere.
Great, great question. What's your advice to anyone? I'm going to do a little wholesaling, then I'm going to do a little flipping, then I'm going to buy rentals, is what they all tell us when they get started. Guys, we could pick any of 50 ways to get off market deals, and probably the three of us could make it work because we're smart enough to do that. Right, consistency is the key to any of this. I've got one of the biggest mail houses here in my town that I live in, and they said 90% of the people do one direct mail campaign one time and they turn it off. So my point is, that's a tried and true one, and nine times out of 10 they do it once. And why? They spent the three or four grand, five grand, then they didn't get the return. You think they made $5,000 and they made so much money they could retire? That's why they didn't say it. No, they didn't get the return they wanted. They're like, they didn't have that next set of 5,000, right? And so with this, it's we play this game in my training. It's like, what business are you building, right? All leads have their good points and their bad points. This is different because it's a relationship with someone in senior living who consistently will have the ear of these families. You know, the key to this, guys, is to be known, liked, and trusted. It's really easy to get known. You can be notorious, right? Known is not necessarily the key. To be liked and then to be trusted is the goal. Once they trust you, and it comes down to everybody in this world cares about what's in it for them. So remember when I named off all those other types of job titles in senior living? From all of those people have a what's in it for them. And so meeting them at their level, letting them understand how Philip helps them.
Right.
Now they use me as a tool to be more profitable with the clients they already have. Or because it's a care business, they're like, my family needs this warm hug right now. We lovingly say we're, and this brings me back to about your own podcast. I read that this is a very woman-centric, woman empowerment. I love that, guys. Hear me right now. I want you guys to hear this. Mom's house is better designed for females than it is for men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? Because empathy is naturally more inside of women. I'm being stereotypical again, guys. If you want to get mad at me, that's fine. But it's more ingrained in females than it is in men. And so if you're a female trying to figure out what I want to do, if bandit signs doesn't hit your heartstrings right, and you don't want to be a cold caller, and you don't want to do text message blasting, it's because you haven't found the right channel yet. And if you can put people first, the money is right there behind it. There's a lot of money in real estate, but you have to put people first. And the transactional real estate investors who I'm trying to weed out, they have a place, but to build these relationships the right way, you have to have empathy because the senior living industry will sniff it out anyway. So I'm trying to find investors nationwide to work with that have what we call the right heart condition.
Yeah.
Love in their hearts, right?
Right.
That's awesome. But and can you expand on that a little bit? Because I think, like you just said, it's all a relationship business. And I think, if you're really successful in anything, it's about relationships. But especially in this, and as you're building these relationships and trust, you know, with these, you know, different titles that you mentioned, what do you teach your students, or how do you go about say they're not good at it, or say, I mean, you're a very likable person and
thank
and,
you.
Yeah. Easy to talk to. And, but I mean, let's just, you know, any Joe Smo, how would you advise them on building, how are they going to go about building these relationships with these people? How are they going to go and not feel like awkward and look like, you know, as they endeavor on and, you know, have these conversations with these people?
One of my students recently told me that they had an hour-long conversation with an elder care attorney. And because of the training that we had, he said, I was able to have an intelligent conversation with an elder care attorney where I would not have been prepared for that had I not had the training. And so from a high level, it's pretty easy. You have to be shoulder to shoulder with these people. In my 11 years here in the St. Louis market, people mm-hmm. have heard what Philip does. Oh, he's the senior living guy. So they'll show up at the senior living networking events, which we'll come back to. There's senior living networking events happening just as often as there is real estate events in every city. But what they'll do is they'll come, they'll do a card dump on everybody, and then they'll go home and say, that senior living thing didn't work because I went to the networking meeting one time and I dumped all my cards and I didn't build a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I look at it, it's like dating, right? You want to be around just enough to be known, but not so much to be needy. You want to be likable. You want to be shoulder to shoulder. You want to volunteer. We interviewed an attorney this week. He volunteers. That's how he gets his business. You're volunteering not because of who you're helping, but because of who you're standing shoulder to shoulder with mm-hmm. that are also volunteers. And so it's a completely different mindset than if you could buy a list of Daughter Judy's. This comes back to what you said earlier. How do you find them? It's really hard to find Daughter Judy because she might very well live 400 miles away from her parents, mm-hmm. right? So you're trying to find the people that are in the market that are giving them the good advice about mom's next move. Mm-hmm. And then that person is who gives you Daughter Judy. That's how this is done. That relationship's done through those relationships more than it is buying a list and hunting them down.
Right.
You know, this is a warm referral.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think also, Sean, it goes back to, you nailed it, you know, the training, the mentorship, you know, really have somebody that knows what they're doing. Like we got started and we didn't know what we were doing in pre-foreclosures, sure. right? But we still partnered with somebody that did. So yeah. it's who you're mentored by. So I think that's huge takeaway there.
The other thing with that is I always feel like to develop the relationships, you know, and is how can you help that person rather than you going and just trying to get something from them?
Right.
Why don't you give something, you know, and give, like you said, give you your time or volunteer, mm-hmm. but how can you make their life easier or their job easier? And you got to lead with that. You can't come just asking for stuff. Nobody, you know,
right.
So
totally agree.
Yeah. But, let's talk about the senior living center space. So, like, I didn't even know there were events that you could go to that
I
didn't know that existed.
I would be looking them up.
Yeah. But where you mentioned earlier, this industry, this space is going to continue to grow, correct? I mean, and you must have data and been studying this for the last 11 years. So, tell us a little bit about where it's headed. Are the large facilities where it's headed? Are the smaller facilities? And who's guiding, like you said, who are the people they need to get in contact to find deals? You've mentioned some of this, but let's just
repeat. The industry is so large and there's so many seniors headed towards it that they call it the silver tsunami. Mm. And it's so big that even our own government doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys know about the Biden's plan to take away the 1031 exchange. Mm-hmm. He wants to do that so he can pay our nieces and nephews to take care of our grandmas. And if you would have told me that 30 years ago, I would have laughed, be like, no way, that's real. But this is the world we're living in, right? It's because the government is trying to keep people in their houses as long as possible because it's cheaper than putting them in the 24-hour Medicaid beds. Mm-hmm. And so this silver tsunami is so gigantic. I've got this rule, you know, being in senior living for over 10 years now, it's like, don't get old. And if you do, make sure you have a lot of money. And so, that's the key. And so, the numbers are staggering. You ask the question, what's better, big or little? Mm-hmm. You've got an industry that has 60 to 120% turnover per year in their employees. And I had somebody brag to me last year, ours is only 54%. Guys, they bragged to me their turnover rate was only 54% on their employees.
Wow.
Which means you don't know who's taking care of your mom, whether mm-hmm. it's big or little. Me personally, my mom's not near this age, but if she was, I would go look at some of the smaller ones in an attempt to try to get to know who's actually taking care of my mother. Mm-hmm. COVID has proven too that the smaller ones, it was easier to keep the public out. And so it's such a big industry that there's room for both. The large are always going to dominate just because that's where the money is. Mm-hmm. If you think about your own market where you guys are, how many senior living communities are in your own market?
Oh, they're huge. They're big.
Hundreds. Yeah. And every one of them is probably 5 to 10 really good at bats every single month. If mm-hmm. if you had the right relationship the right way, there's no shortage of this anytime soon. We have a 20-year run here in front of us that makes it, this is what's so exciting. Like, I don't mind working, but I just want to know I'm working towards something bigger. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing deals with people I met back in 2011 today. I did a deal last week with a guy I met in 2011. So that's very different than my real estate agent relationships. I still know real estate agents, but I'm still not currently doing deals with them like I did when I first got the relationship.
Yeah. And where do you think the real estate market in general is headed?
Where's the cheese going, right? Yeah, from
you, I mean, you have years of experience.
That's my favorite question. Yeah. I thought the crash was going to come October 7th, 2018. So that tells you how far off I am, right? I'm 4 years behind. You know, I thought it was coming 4 years ago.
But I was right there with you. So you weren't alone.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I think the cheese is heading to something called sell and stay. And the reason why I say that is, my company focuses on the flashpoint of them needing to move into senior living. Mm-hmm. But the precursor to moving into senior living is usually you don't start off with 24-hour care. You start off with, mom, we're gonna get a professional come in 2 or 3 hours a day to help you with bathing, to help you with your medication, mm-hmm. right? And then that turns into 4 hours a day, 5 hours a day. Then they say, hey, you know, mom's got dementia, right? And you're like, no, I didn't know that. And then once you let the professionals in, they're only in-home healthcare, or using in-home healthcare for about 3 to 6 months. Mm. And what happens in that 3 to 6 months is they pass away, they move into 24-hour care, or the third one's the funny one. They say, get this person out of my house. I don't want them in here. But if they are that person, they usually end up back in the fold here again in the future. So that's kind of like the life cycle. And so for us, when I say the word sell and stay, that's very different than a reverse mortgage, because we would own the house. They wouldn't have to pay the taxes or the upkeep, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to do it for just a short while until they get moved to where they're going to go. So I think it's like a 3 to 6 month Band-Aid before they move into 24-hour care. Mm-hmm. And what it does is, guys, it frees up mom and the family when they do go from in-home to 24-hour care. They don't need to worry how to get that bag of money from the house. They've already sold it. So it's kind of like a car lease. And they just say, here you go, Phil, here's your keys back. Here's your house back. We have our money. We're ready to go into senior living now.
Yeah.
That's where I think the cheese is heading for us personally. Anyway.
Do you, are you able to get leads or get people to start talking about you that early in the process? I'm just curious. Like, I mean, do they, you know, like the people that are taking care of certain people already in their home or providing care in their home, I don't know if they want to mention you because they probably want a job and want the person to stay there as long as they can, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's a great question. I used to try to get with in-home healthcare at the end of this life cycle, mm-hmm. and we've changed that to the beginning of the life cycle. So if, let's say, the three of us owned an in-home healthcare company, mm-hmm. you want to know that your client can pay you. Mm-hmm. And so if you unlock their equity for them, so now we're getting to it at the front end of the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, they're going to stay in the house. Their actual job of care doesn't change at all, mm-hmm. whether they rent the house back from us or they own it themselves. I mean, it's just a matter of, can you pay your bills? Mm-hmm. So we've switched it forward a little bit.
You can get more creative there than on the front.
Yes, sir.
But it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Love what you're doing. So Phil, one question we always ask our guests is what's your next? What are you looking to accomplish in the next 5 to 10 years?
Ooh, that's a long time. 5 to 10 years. Wow.
Take over the world.
We had a 5-year goal to help 10,000 daughter Judy's a month. Daughter Judy's what we call the adult child. I think we were woefully low on that. Well, I think we'll be at 10,000 daughter Judy's in the next year and probably pushing towards 50,000 daughter Judy's a month.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's how many families we think need this.
Yeah.
Or that we think we can, that's the market share. Because what's cool about what we do is we're actually part of the senior living sales process. Buying houses is like is what we do, but really we help the senior living sales process to be quicker. And so the industry is really starting to take note, going, yeah, we just usually call real estate agents and then they come back 3 to 6 months later. And so we're adding months onto the front end of people's stays. And when it's only 28 months anyway, that makes them, 10%, 20% more profitable with the clients they already have. So the industry gets it. Daughter Judy doesn't want to mess with it anyway. And us real estate investors, I told you guys there's six reasons, maybe seven, why these are the best leads. You want to go through them real quick?
Just so yes, please. Yes.
Number one, I don't have to convince them of motivation. They have it. They have a doctor telling them that they have to move. Mm-hmm. Second one is they own the house outright 9 times out of 10. Sometimes there's a small second or maybe a reverse mortgage, but almost always they have equity. The third reason is that it's a house I can add value to. Mm-hmm. If every house was 2 years old, I wouldn't have much to do. None of us would, right? Mm-hmm. These are houses that they've lived in so long that mom might've gotten a new kitchen, but that was back in 1991 and it's already dated. The new kitchen's already dated, right? That's how long they've lived there. And they're always full of stuff. You know, even if mom took care of it, it's, you know, the hot water heater's new, the roof's 3 years old, but then that paneling's in the wrong spot, that kitchen, you know what I mean? Yeah. You guys know these are houses that we can add value to as rehabbers. The fourth reason is everyone says, Phil, where are the leads at with less competition? I have found that I usually compete against no one, maybe myself or maybe against a real estate agent, but I don't ever have a cattle call when it comes to my senior living leads. And that's a huge, huge difference. Wow. The fifth reason is the most important. A proprietor of senior living, executive director, finance director, marketing director, placement agent, aid and attendance benefit providers. When these people refer to me, when they give me that warm transfer of trust, there is not a better real estate lead than that, because they're saying Philip is the expert that fixes this problem. Mm. Right. And so you add those five reasons up. You're like, Phil, I'm in. I want to do it in my own market. That's probably what you guys are thinking. But then the sixth reason, there's a sixth and maybe even a seventh. The sixth reason is these leads are free. I don't pay for these leads. So these, I help all those people I just named to be more profitable or have better care for their own clients. So I don't pay for the best leads in the business and haven't for over 10 years. And then I said that there might be a seventh. All of this is reoccurring, right? These relationships are reoccurring. I still do deals with people I met 10 years ago. That's a pretty cool way to be. I have a business where the leads chase me. And so I don't do outbound marketing anymore.
Well, that's golden right there. Thanks for sharing that, Phil. So if our listeners, you know, maybe they're thinking about getting started in senior living, they hear this podcast and they're like, oh, this is awesome. Like, what advice would you give someone, you know, wanting to start out?
You learn more, right? You have to go out and learn. We do a 3-day training, and in it, we don't spend a lot of time on like how to write contracts or any of the real estate 101. There's plenty of people that teach that. Ours is more, how do you really break into the senior living industry? Mm-hmm. And guys, remember how you said you didn't even know there were senior living networking events going on?
Yeah.
I always tell this joke that when you go to the RIAs, the local meetups for real estate, everybody's like, look at my check. I got the billboard, right. There's checks. Everybody's got checks. I've been networking in senior living for 11 years. I've never seen one person's check yet. And it's that fundamental difference of who investors are and who senior living people are. There's actually people out there in the world that are not, they don't care about money. I know that's hard to believe for all of us entrepreneurs, but that's the way the senior living world is. And so I teach people how to get behind the curtain in that space. It's really warm if they know, like, and trust you. But it's really easy to put your foot in your mouth if you don't.
Yeah. Can you explain more, since we're getting into it, about mom's house? What does that look like working with you and your company? And how does that... You're expanding because you're nationwide, correct? So how does that how does that work in every market? And say, like, let's just give us, for example, we want to start something up with you in Houston if you don't already have somebody. But how does that work? Tell us more. I know you got the 3-day training, you said.
Yeah, just because somebody comes out and gets the education doesn't mean that they're necessarily a good person, right? Just because somebody pays for education doesn't make them a good person. But what we do in our training is we try to help people self-select. If you're not the right person, you're going to know it by day three of the training. Mm-hmm. In fact, so last week we had 75 people come to my office here in St. Louis for training. We do it live. I know that's hard to believe that things still happen live, not always on Zoom. But I always say, I don't teach you. It's if I'm in the hugs and kisses business, it's really hard to hug you over Zoom.
Yeah.
And so we have them come out to St. Louis. About half the time, the people that come to the training to say, Phil, we want to work with you more. And so what I want to offer you guys we're going to do this challenge here next month where I'm going to really like open the books up and kind of show people what this is about. And then people make a decision on their own, say, mm-hmm. This sounds like something I'd be good at. Maybe not. It's free to attend this thing. So there's no risk for your listeners to do that. But yeah. It's a 3-day challenge. It's going to be, I think it's March 2nd, 3rd and 4th for 1 hour a day. It's just momshouse.com/challenge. And I'd like to invite your listeners out and just, you know, the other than your time, if you can spend an hour or two with me, I promise it'll be worth your time, because this lead source, if you have a better lead source, I want to hear about it, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Because I'm really confident in what we do here and the mission. You know, we haven't even said the word, I guess, reason number eight. There's a fulfillment in what we do. I see the weight come off the family's shoulders. When you deal with divorce and stuff like that, it's just not as or death, even probate, somebody's passed away or death. Like these, like nobody's mad at Nana that she has to move into single living. Like it's more of a collaborative, good feeling, you know? And like you said, with the family fighting, you know, families that even get along, don't get along during this process. Mm-hmm. So if you can empower daughter Judy to help make a good decision, you see the way there's a fulfilling side of this as well. And so I want people to listen to the training, see if it's right for them. And then we have leads coming in nationwide. And so we work with people all over the country to help us with those leads.
Awesome. Well, we'll have the challenge in the show notes as well, so our listeners can see that. So we'll put that on there. I think that's a great opportunity.
So that's here. So it's March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Is that what?
Yes. And I believe it's 1 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. So noon central.
Okay. Yep. Cool. Awesome. We'll put that in. It's Mom's House /challenge.
Challenge.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Well, any books you would recommend?
Sure. I mean, just for fun? Are we talking about, you know,
everything?
Everything.
What's your favorite?
We've got some readers on this podcast.
Yeah. There's a book called The Big Rich. The Big Rich, Brian Burroughs, I believe is the name. Hmm. It's not a real estate book, but it's about how you're Texas people, right? So this will be perfect for you guys. It was about how the oil industry has influenced our country to what it is today. Huh. And it starts off in a town called Spindletop in like 1901, but it's just super interesting. And really it's an entrepreneurial book. It's let me liken it to COVID. Did you notice some guys in COVID that their business quadrupled and then some had their whole life smacked down upon them?
Absolutely.
Were they smarter than the other guy? No, life just happens and you either look smart or dumb, but history is written about the people who take action.
Yeah, so true.
Right? And so I think The Big Rich is just a great book to be like, man, these guys just took risks. Mm-hmm. And some of them might call it crazy. And sometimes they look really smart. Sometimes they look really dumb. But in the end, they took action. And I think that's the way it is with life. I want to help, 50,000 daughter Judys a month. And I know if we're putting her first, I know the senior living industry will fall in line. And of course, I just gave you guys those seven reasons. Do those sound like the kind of leads you guys want to work as real estate investors?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I can just feel your passion, Phil. So I think it's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm a real estate guy. Really, in the end, I love money and I love real estate and I love deals. But how we get there, this is like a really fulfilling way to do it. And so we're trying to find, we're trying to be the anti-iBuyer in a world of iBuyers.
Correct. And I think it comes down to you're just a higher purpose. Real estate's the widget, but really and so that's awesome.
Thank you.
How can people follow you? And just, do you social media? Momshouse.com.
Momshouse.com or on social media. I think there's a public Facebook page that has about 27,000 people on it. Sweet. So you can find us there as well.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Philip, so much for being here today. And if you're listening to this episode and you like it, please rate it, like it, and give us some feedback and look at the show notes for that challenge.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.